Views expressed by the guests and telephone participants do not necessarily express the views of the management, staff, or sponsors of AM 950 KHI.
Welcome, KHI listeners. I'm Teresa Helene, and you're listening to A Time for Singing. This show, the Ann and Teresa show this week, is going to be on emergency preparedness. So we're really excited. Our first guest, we have a guest today, is Joe from Carefree Tree Care. And it's so important because one of the biggest things in our area about emergency preparedness during the summer is fires. Didn't used to be. I've been up here 25 years in Alta, and it wasn't a big deal. But in the last 10 years, we've all learned that trees in our house, around our house, are a really important part of preparedness. So Joe actually came to my house. I had a humongous, beautiful sugar pine that I think the beetles got to and killed, and it was right next to our shop, and he took it down. So when we were talking about this show, one of the things we wanted to really discuss is the trees around the home. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
So one of the things we always like to ask our guest is a little bit about their background, where they're from, and what got you into the tree trimming business.
Well, originally, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I got into tree work down there, and eventually I sort of got tired of doing all the small trees. We did a lot of street trees and ornamentals, so I have a lot of background in fine pruning, and that's good, but it's also, it was kind of boring work. You know, I wanted to do something bigger and more exciting, so I moved up here about 12 years ago and ended up starting a business and settling down, really.
So right around the time that major fires were starting to happen in around
yes,
the state.
Yes.
Wow.
And then I got into tree work, actually, funny enough, from being a little bit of a juvenile delinquent. I dropped out of high school, and my parents sort of gave me an ultimatum of, like, you know, get back in school or you don't live here.
Wow.
or you start, you get a job and start paying rent, you know. So I chose to get a job and start paying rent when I was 16, and then the rest is history, really.
He's going to be on for another show. We're going to talk about him because he likes to ride trains. Now, Ann, it's coming into picture why he likes to ride those trains. We're getting more of the story. So everybody knows you are a bonded, licensed, insured tree trimmer.
Yes, yes. We're all 100% above board, licensed with the state of California, have all the liability coverages and all of that, workman's comp. Everything.
We had to say that because, you know, you were talking about being a juvenile.
Yes, yes.
We are
officially professional and above board on the business side of things.
Super, super busy. So let's tell our listeners, what area do you service?
We're based out of the town of Alta, and we tend to go sort of the 80 strip between, like, Truckee and maybe Penryn, like, you know, Newcastle, Penryn area. We will go outside of that work area for, you know, large jobs. If we've got a week's worth of work, we've gone to El Cerrito for
wow.
work. I've gone all the way up to Portland, Oregon for work. So if the job's big enough, we'll go anywhere.
And do you go over to Grass Valley, Lake of the Pines?
Yes. Penn? Yeah,
we do all that.
We probably go out to about Penn Valley, you know. And then on the other side of 80, probably go out to about, like, cool-ish, mm-hmm. Georgetown, maybe.
Yeah. So do you know the rules that they're coming out with about trees and how close to the house they should be for fire safety?
I mean, I think every agency will have sort of their own guidelines. I'm not really sure what everybody's requiring. I know just through basic, you know, knowledge of the industry, yeah, it's good to have some good distance between your trees and structures, and also trees and other trees. You know, you don't want the trees clustered up together amongst themselves.
That would create a bigger fire.
It can,
But I sit there as I go home, because I live in Alto too. When I go home almost every day, one between Dutch Flat and home, there's a zillion trees. I think if a fire's coming, what good's it going to do that I have a tree 20 feet from my house, 30 feet from my house? But I do see that they're spacing them like around Lake Alta. Someone's going in and spacing those trees. And I think, oh, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
That there, it puts a gap so it wouldn't be, the fire doesn't get as big. Is that what it would be?
It helps with a couple of things. So, you know, fire safety is definitely one. And yeah, the fire will have a much slower rate of spread. It'll have a harder time progressing if the trees are farther apart, which then makes it easier to then battle or control on the firefighter side. And then also in just the name of tree health, you know, trees thrive on sun. And if they're shading one another out, they're actually in competition. So giving the tree the space it needs to breathe will make it then a stronger, more viable tree. And you probably won't have to worry about it falling over as much, you know, like a tree next to your house in a big cluster of trees are probably more likely to fall over than one that stands alone, because they all support each other. And if one fails, then you create a weak link in the system and they can all go down. If you have a tree that's stood on its own for many years, it's used to being by itself. It supports itself. It doesn't rely on any other trees.
Right.
And therefore it's stronger.
Right.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Trees are with each other. That's why when they go in lines like that. I've seen that in videos.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're set up like that in videos. But I've done jobs where somebody wanted clearing done around their house. So we clear out a lot of trees around their house, and then, you know, within a month or two, the trees on the edge of where we stopped clearing started falling over because they started receiving wind gusts that they weren't used to. You know, they were protected by all these other trees, and we took all these trees down. And so the trees that we left all started falling over because they had nothing to support them anymore.
No, they weren't used to that. Well, so for a lot of us, some people live in a city, and I still think we've watched Paradise, Santa Rosa go down. You still have to be prepared. But let's say you live out a little bit. I have, at one point I counted, over 200 pretty good-sized trees on my property. I don't have the money to take that down. Now, we have taken little ones down ourselves. I don't have the money that I think it would cost to take those down. And most of the people up there don't.
No.
We just have a ton of trees. How do you get rid of those thousands and thousands of trees? What would be your suggestion to me and others listening to deal with that? I mean, one is literally a huge cedar. Well, about four humongous cedars. 5, 10, 15 feet from my house.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend, best case scenario, for me to do?
Well, first off, don't think you got to do it all at once. You know, that is an overwhelming task to accomplish, and it seems like a lot if you're talking about 200 trees and we need to address all these 200 trees right away. So I would do little bits at a time. You know, figure out what's a priority, what worries you the most, and pick one tree. And then, you know, maybe do one tree a year. And no, you're not going to be doing one tree a year for 200 years, but, you know, you're still doing something. And then for those folks that, you know, really don't have the finances to even just chip away at it, there are programs through Placer County, the EQIP program, and I think there's others, which I'm unsure of the name, but There is funding, county funding out there for dead and hazardous trees, and also fire safety. If you're doing clearing in the name of structure protection for fire safety, there is Placer County programs that will, they won't pay for the whole thing, but they will help to sort of give you some money for that. So I've heard of people, you know, getting up to 60% of their project paid for by the county or the state.
Okay. We'll look into those programs and give the listeners information for that. Down the road, I'll try and find some of that information. So for me, I mean, I had to have you come out for this humongous dead tree. Your crew was so nice. My husband had really a good time with them. Start to finish, you guys were amazing. You couldn't even tell you were there after you left, except I have a really sad humongous stump. The grandkids like to get on and dance. But other than that, what should I do? Do you charge me to come out and just say to me, let's tackle this one first, maybe this one next year? Do you charge to come out and look at my property and say, this is what we should do?
No, I offer free estimates and advice. And a lot of times, you know, people have a issue or a problem. If we're not the company that I think can best address it, I know a lot of the guys in the industry, and I will refer stuff like that out. You know, maybe if I don't have a particular piece of equipment that I know, hey, you sure we could do this, but it's going to take 3 days and cost X amount of dollars. But if you call this other guy, he's got the right equipment. He'll come in here and get it done in one day for less money.
Right.
Like, I'll pass that job off to them.
Yeah.
So if anybody needs advice, happy to offer my professional opinion.
Okay.
And there's no charge for that.
Oh, good. So what's the tallest tree you've ever taken down?
Taken down probably about 220 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. That was actually in Alta.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Close to a house?
Not like right next to a house, but it was close enough. Yeah. Yeah.
But how do you, so you climb it and you start taking it down in pieces?
Yeah.
Who climbs?
A pine. I climb.
Okay.
This was a pine tree. So, you know, they're usually pretty straight, solid trunks, conifers. And as you're climbing, you're stripping all the limbs off. So there's all the limbs that are coming off the side. You're climbing and you're taking all the limbs off. You're basically making this big pole.
Yeah.
So you strip it all the way up to the top. And then once you get up to, you know, trunk diameter can be 6 inches. I think I blew this one out a little bit below that. I think I was probably closer to 20 inches where I was. But, yeah, then you can tip a top over and drop the top down. And then if you sort of work your way down the trunk and take little sections off and just drop them on the ground. Or, you know, if there's hazards, landscaping and stuff below, we can rope and lower things. So there's actually zero impact.
So what about, and I am fascinated, I really like those crazy videos of people, house owners, trying to take down a tree right next to them.
Oh, yeah.
Their house by themselves. I love it because they're just sitting there trying to figure, okay, it's going to fall this way. And, you know, in the old days, we built decks around a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's right next to the house. And they think, and the garage is right on the other side. And they think they've got it, and it just falls right on the house.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, I love them. So, how do you deal with that when the tree is right next to the house, and you've got a short, small, narrow frame to fall it?
Well, if you can't fall it, you simply can't fall it. So, that's where a lot of times those videos you're talking about are probably trees that should have been climbed and disassembled, pieced down by a climber. But the homeowner didn't want to pay for a climber, so they said, hell, we'll just throw a cut in the bottom and tip her over. Well,
yeah.
You know, that
doesn't
and
work.
Any professional probably would not have made that decision.
So for you to do it, if it's really close to the house, you do what you said a little bit ago. You take down the limbs as you climb, and you'll take it down in pieces safely.
Yeah. For conifers, you know, oak trees are different. Oak trees have a decurrent growth pattern. So they sprawl out. And,
right.
And that is there's a whole nother approach to removing and disassembling those trees.
Okay, let me see. What happens for your crew once the tree's down? A lot, you drive around a lot and you'll see, oh, I'll take the tree down. They leave stumps and all of that. So what does your company do about that?
I mean, we will leave it if that's what the client wants, but we have the ability and the equipment, you know, trucks and trailers to haul the stuff off. The flip side of that is it does cost more money. So,
if you take totally clean.
Yeah. I mean, if I've got to, you know, spend hours loading up debris from a tree and take it and, you know, fuel for hauling, and then there's disposal costs. So it's like it does increase our work time. It increase my overhead. It is an additional service that we charge for.
What do you do with those? What are you doing with those trunks?
The trunk wood is a hard one, really. I have various places that are willing to accept it. The transfer stations, unfortunately, do not.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's usually between private property owners. You know, there used to be a lot of folks that wanted to take the logs and mill them.
Right.
But now Mountain has left so many logs everywhere that those guys are pretty much covered. You know, many years ago, I used to be able to get a log truck and take them to SPI. But SPI, from at least my understanding, the last time I checked in, they're not accepting stuff from private contractors.
And for burning purposes, you would think, okay, well, it's firewood. But people don't burn pine usually.
Not a lot, no.
And that's it. What about cedar?
Cedar's good wood. I mean, it's great for starting fires. It burns really hot and really fast. So if you've got a wood box full of cedar, you're going to keep throwing logs in the fireplace, you know, every 15, 20 minutes. But it gets really hot.
But you know what? To me, firewood is super, super expensive. Pine would probably be okay to burn, provided you cleaned your whatever every year or whatever. But some people are very poor. We hear about seniors who have no way of heating their house.
Yeah.
So why aren't people using more pine or cedar that they could get really cheap for firewood?
I think that they would be. I don't know about Placer County. I know Nevada County has a big firewood program, like right there on Brunswick.
Right.
It's through piles and piles and piles, and that's all pine.
That's all donated.
Yeah, it's all pine, too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, pretty much all softwood. So there's
I didn't know that.
And that's, you know, free firewood provided to those who need it.
To the seniors, yes.
And
it's a great program.
Yeah, you just got to
Do you take your logs there?
I've taken logs there before, but, you know, it's a long way to go if we're working in Alta, so I'll take them there if we're working nearby.
And they're trying to move that. They've been asked to move that.
Really?
So they're looking for another place to move wood, all that wood. It's a great thing. So is there any piece of advice you want to tell the homeowners that you can give them for preparing their house for this summer fire season?
Gosh, you know, probably not anything that they haven't already heard.
But it is really important to keep your
house. It is. It is very important to, you know, stay up on the trees and vegetation around the house. It's not just trees, you know, it's the leaves, it's the grass, it's the bushes. Fire safety is very important, and it really doesn't take a whole lot to get fire safe for most people. I know there's a lot of people that just sort of say, yeah, you know, my neighbor's not doing it, so what's the point of me doing it? And it's kind of like, you know, that mentality doesn't help.
No.
So if everybody just did a little bit, we would all be so much better off.
Good. Well, we really thank you for coming. Again, it's Joe for Carefree Tree Care. His number's 530-830-8057. Give them a call if you're concerned about any trees near your house. And thank you for coming.
Yes,
we'll be right back.
Thanks for having me.
Some may see a sprinter. At the NFHS, we see a future leader already off to the races. Some may see a volleyball player.
Good hit! Way to go, girl! Woo!
At the NFHS, we see a spike in confidence that will help her achieve her potential. What else do we see? Musicians learning to march to their own beat. We're the NFHS, the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and activities in America, helping today's teenagers develop the skills they need to become tomorrow's leaders. And we see it happening in communities across California every single day. Learn more about the NFHS commitment to youth at nfhs.org. This message presented by the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations.
Victory Village serves those who have served our country, offering help for veterans, their families, and those currently serving. For more than 10 years, nonprofit Victory Village has served all of the Sierra Foothill counties. Visit our office in Jackson or Auburn for financial assistance, help with housing, and wraparound services to aid the transition to civilian life. If you need help, to volunteer, or to learn more, visit vvvets.org.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Welcome back, K-High listeners. Well, now it's the Ann and Teresa show.
Summer fire preparedness.
Yeah, emergency preparedness. And this is a show that when Ann and I did, I don't know, 6 months ago, we got more calls on this show than anything.
We actually did, yeah. And honestly, it's because we live in the foothills. This is Voice of the Foothills. Everyone who's listening. I mean, I know there's suburbs, but even the suburbs need to be prepared. Because when your power goes out,
right?
What do we do?
Power goes out, or a wreck, or you know, a fire along the freeway. That if it's a windy day, again, we saw paradise. We saw Santa Rosa, whole towns. So, yeah, we are talking Penn Valley. We're talking Grass Valley. We're talking Colfax. We're talking Auburn. We were talking Lincoln.
Yeah.
We're talking some parts of Roseville.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we never in our life thought we'd be talking about. Mm-hmm. But now we are. Now, I will say this, because I don't want this to be a scary show. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What my experience is from living up in Alta and watching the fires way more closely than I used to is, I hope no one from the fire department's listening to me. It seemed that years ago there was a lackadaisical attitude towards a fire. Okay, there's a little field fire in Colfax. We're sending one engine. What I see now if there is a little field fire on a street in Auburn, Colfax,
there's 10 units going.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have told this story last time we did this show there. I live on Atwood in Auburn, and the back part of Atwood goes down into Mount Vernon, and it's all hills and trees and beautiful land. And there was a fire on a property this winter. And I saw the smoke, and it was a burn day. So it's not shocking. Everyone back there has acreage.
Yeah.
But then there was more smoke and more smoke and more smoke. And I'm like, that's a very large property burn. Next thing I know, here comes the fire trucks. And I am not lying to you. I sat in my yard and watched at least 7 fire trucks, and then like 5 minutes later, a massive bulldozer.
Good.
And it was like
on it.
I'm like, where did that bulldozer come from? I mean, it was on a semi. It was huge.
Wow.
And I was so impressed
with CAL FIRE. I
wonder
where it came from. But they're on it.
They're on it.
We know that. Mm-hmm. So we don't, this is preparedness. We're not trying to freak anybody out. So mm-hmm. for me, living in Alta, if people don't know, I mean, I live in the forest. Lucky
it's
thing
beautiful.
is that I'm right close to 280, fairly close. Mm-hmm. So if there's a fire mm-hmm. by me, they're mm-hmm. putting it out because it could shut down 80.
Yep.
I get a lot of truck fires. They mm-hmm. come down
they
the
burn
hill
their brakes.
And their brakes catch on fire. That mm-hmm. catches the landscape on fire. Mm-hmm. And so
one thing I just thought about that, and my husband and I were house hunting this year, and we looked at, I don't know, a ton of houses, tons. We house hunted for over 6 months. And one thing that we noticed driving to all these houses, because we were looking for property, is a route.
Yes.
So many houses we would drive to, and the realtor's like, end of the road. It's beautiful. This is awesome. Low traffic on this street. All you have is you and your neighbors. And my husband and I thought, well, that's awesome, but there's no way out.
I have no way out of my street. The good thing about that is if I have a way out, it goes down to the bottom of the Bear River. So if nothing else, I can get into the Bear River and duck up and
down.
And
there you go. Take a swim. So yes. That's what we were...
I don't want to right now.
Well, that's what we were thinking, though, is all these beautiful homes at the end of the road. What if the fire is on the beginning of your end of the road?
You are stuck.
And it's coming towards you. What do you do?
So
and
that is making a plan. That is making mm-hmm. a plan. So last time people called us and asked us, where do I get this information, that information? Please get out a piece of paper and a pencil. So we're going to give out numbers. And this time I did type up something that if you did call our office, Amore Senior Care, 530-878-2667, and we'll give that number out again. I can email you these numbers. So we did get a little smart this time. So the first, there's a couple things that we want you to know. One, there in Placer County, and Nevada County has the same thing. There is something called Placer Alert. And you go, just Google Placer Alert. And in there is a button. It's a citizen's alert. And you sign up to where your home phone or your cell phone would get an alert if there was any kind of emergency in your area. That could be flooding. It could be fire. It could be hazardous spill. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. So mm-hmm. I'm signed up for it. When they did that test, my phone mm-hmm. went off. So
is it just on your phones? It alerts you on the phone, or will it call your house?
I think it does call the house, too, because okay. they are aware a lot of rural areas do not
have
cell
phones. Right?
Right. So Placer Alert, Google that. It's got a website. It says it does the Placer County, the City of Colfax, City of Auburn, City of Lincoln, City of Rockland, City of Loomis. So that's the Placer County one. There is a Nevada County one for those of you in Nevada County. So that is one thing to prepare yourself. Another thing is, there is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful website. You were all asking me last time, where this information came from. It's called ready.gov, R-E-A-D-Y.gov.
G-O-V.
G-O-V. So it says at the top, prepare, plan, stay informed. It's kind of put on by FEMA. So they travel the country. They know what you need to know to be prepared. And there are all kinds of printable forms on there. They have a supply kit list, your prescription medication, glasses, pet food, water. And for me, and Ann knows this, she's like, why is your car always so full? The back of my car is full winter in case I'm evacuated or can't get home, and summer if there's a fire and I can't get home. And it, all these things are in there. I have pet food. I don't have the animals with me. Their leashes are with me. There's always water with me. Matches. There's always a blanket with me. I have, and I want everybody to think about this, I have several cell phone, they're called power banks or power supply.
Right.
So if I'm on my phone a ton, I can't get home. I've got my sister's calling. I've got to call the county. I got to do all these things. My phone's dead. So it charges your phone.
That's really smart.
Until you can get somewhere and charge it. It will keep my phone charged for days.
Yeah.
It's a nice big one. Little ones are $29, $39. Best Buy sells them. Target sells them. But it's called a cell phone power bank. So, you know, water, all kinds of stuff. If you're by yourself, you don't need games. But if you have kids, you know, so ready.gov has a ton of things. There's a kit that I did buy several years ago. It was an emergency prepared kit that I bought on Amazon, I think. So it has one of those small fire retardant tents, blankets you put over you, had a first aid kit, had a whistle. If you're stuck or you're out somewhere and you kind of hear someone, you can't yell. A lot of times a whistle works. So I have a whistle in my car.
Good.
I mean, there's so much. So really go through ready.gov, kind of. Here's some of the things they talk about, disasters and emergencies. Make a plan. Just what Ann was saying. You have to have a plan. Okay, I know that. And listen to the sheriffs. Because if there is an emergency in your area, you know, this is a true story of a Paradise fire. This lady knew the shortest way to get to the freeway was to go left. That's how she did it all the time. They were sending her right. And she's like, that's way out of my way. But she followed them. Come to find out, the fire was right around the turn had she gone left.
Yeah.
Sheriffs know what they're doing.
Yep. Trust them.
Follow
and
directions.
There's a thing that I've heard. I've never done it because I've never actually physically been evacuated from a fire. But I do see and hear from firemen where the round one of evacuations is the recommended. And then the two is the mandatory go now. You have to go. And people, of course, wait till it's the go now instead of leaving at the recommended.
And so I had it last year due to a truck fire. I got the phone call, or I have the alert. The alert went off because it's tied to my home number. The alert went off, and so I just said, got to go. That's it. I don't care what I'm doing. Got to go. I have a disabled son at home who does not drive. My husband has cancer. So I took off. My car's packed. I was in prepare for evacuation. So I got home. It's really, really interesting. I'm pretty well packed. I don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. But then they always say when this happens, you're so silly what you pack. So my husband's loading up guns or whatever.
His most valuables.
I'm like,
his Corvette.
Yeah, in the Corvette. I'm like, okay, well, I'll load up the truck.
With the toothbrushes and some
and
water.
And the dogs.
And the actual dogs.
So
he has the best
with his favorite guns from his dad and stuff.
Yes.
So It was interesting. People were calling me automatically. Mm-hmm. You could come to my house. Come here. Yeah. So my phone's ringing off the hook because everybody knows I'm in the line of fire. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got two houses to get to where I can get out. I can't wait to where that's locked off and I can't get out and I'm down to the river.
Right.
But, you know, I was ready. I was ready for the sheriffs to drive by.
You were on that first drive-by of
a warning. This is alert. You got a fire.
Please leave if you can. It's not the mandatory get out now.
I would have left. Now, here's the difference. I would have left, but my husband wasn't ready to leave yet. And with him having health issues, I really couldn't leave him.
Right. You can't.
But I also have a friend who works for the county. So he was staying in touch with me.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that they're getting it. The planes were flying. They're getting it under control. Kind of wait. Right. Had he said it's out of control,
right? Go.
I would have said, you're out of here. Get going. Yeah. So what?
Right.
Go drive up the freeway and sit at Truckee and have lunch.
Right.
Big wow.
Well, and what they, I actually went to a Cal Fire talk on this for our clients and to be prepared of what to do for our clients since we are having, you know, we do have senior clients. And he said, if on that first round you are able to go, if all the people who could go on the first round did, who can go to Truckee and have lunch, if those guys could just get out of there, it makes the next round of the people, apparently there's a lot of people that don't want to leave.
Well, there's people who don't leave when they're told mandated they have to leave.
Yeah.
And think how much that holds up.
It holds
so
them up.
So now all of a sudden you've got all these people, you now are being told to evacuate.
Right.
And you don't.
Right.
But now you're in the way of the people who are trying to fight the fire to get in closer.
Exactly what happens.
So it's, you
and then
know,
the firemen who need to go and actually fight the fire become paramedics and EMS workers because now they have neighbor Joe who didn't leave, who's having a health event because there's so much smoke. And they have to, of course, care for the human.
And you have sheriffs who are in there begging this person to leave.
Right.
Also, contact the fire department because they do have really cool little red labels that you can put on your door stating the house is clear, we're out.
Yes.
So they don't have to worry about, is there someone in this house? There are things that say, you know, dog inside or, you know, whatever. So contact your local fire department, see what they have. I know that Nevada County has a ton of things. So one of the things I do want to talk about is emergency supplies in a to-go bag. So even I tell people to load their trunk if they have a trunk. Come on, just load it for the summer. Usually it's summer we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some of the things you should have. A transistor radio and spare batteries, flashlight and spare batteries, emergency phone number list. Some of the older people have lists. They don't have them saved in their phone.
Which is very smart because if our phone battery dies for any reason, I would not be able to hardly call my
anybody.
Best friend.
We don't remember numbers
anymore. I don't
know
your phone number.
I don't know yours. And we talk 10 times a day.
I actually had to give your phone number out the other day and I had to look it up. Like, how do I not know your phone number?
We
talk all day, every day.
A list.
A list.
And it
should just be tucked in the glove box of
our
car.
Absolutely. What's that going to hurt?
Yeah.
Cash, credit card, debit cards. Cash is important. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when there's an emergency, lines go down, cell lines go down. You can get gas, but if the Wi-Fi's down, how do you pay for it?
Doesn't work yet.
So have some cash with you at all times. Your medications, prescriptions, assistive device. I want to say this. If you forget your prescriptions, the state of California has an emergency thing. If you are if you're kicked out of your house, emergency type thing, you can go to your pharmacy and get a short-term supply, even if you're not due.
That's great.
To know that. Your pet's medications, leashes. Carry some 2-gallon water bottles, a dog bowl. Keep them in your car. What's it going to hurt for summer? Just be prepared. Extra clothing, cell phones, computers. I have this list because my husband obviously doesn't know what to grab. So I have this list sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have, mine are in the car, but there is a bag for him to grab your, grab his computer, grab his cell phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of those things that he's obviously not thinking about in a crisis.
Right.
Put your list together. Go to ready.gov. Put that list together. Food, snack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you may be sitting for a few hours, 3-4 hours, at a park in mm-hmm. Meadow Vista. Right. That's okay.
Right.
Have some water. Have mm-hmm. some snacks. They're, that you're not, your house isn't burning. There's just smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So be prepared. I have N95 face masks in my car.
Oh, those are good.
What if, you know, it's kind of smoky and you're stuck in a line?
Right.
You right. need something.
Yep, that is a really good one.
The other thing is always keep your gas tank halfway full during the summer.
Yeah, my husband does that all the time, actually.
Your husband does, we know.
He's big on that. I hate getting gas. I don't know why my mom hated getting gas. Now I hate getting gas. She passed it down, I guess. So I run it down, and he's always so, so annoyed. So I'm actually working on that myself.
Well, you don't have to work on that because he does like doing that for
he
you.
He does it for me.
So those, please go to ready.gov and print out those lists. They're really important. And then in Placer County, Nevada County, places like that, I always go to Yuba.net. Yuba.net. It's a website, yuba.net.com.
Okay, and the website is Y, spell it.
Yubanet.com. During the summer, sometimes the winter, they are the most up-to-date, why I don't know, website for information on fires.
Oh, that's great. They've really put probably a big effort out in doing that.
Oh, huge.
Mm-hmm.
So they will tell you where the fires are. If you see smoke, you don't know where it is, go to yuba.net. I guarantee you it'll be there. It'll say how many fire trucks are there. It'll
wow.
say the, it'll say there that airplane is on the way, air yeah. support, they call it.
yubanet.com.
Yes. Always call. You can go to a radio station. Look online. There mm-hmm. are usually, if there's an emergency in your area,
mm-hmm.
K-High. Auburn Journal. Go to some sites that mm-hmm. are going to have it. You can call 211, which is Placer County and Nevada County, 211. They usually have all the latest info. If mm-hmm. there's evacuation where you can take livestock, usually it's the county fairgrounds. They usually have the latest information you'll need to know. Then there are numbers. PG&E has an emergency line. They have their website, and on their website you can go to outages, and it'll say how long your electricity might be out. Have the phone number for Placer County Animal Control, for the Auburn Police Department, Roseville Police Department, Nevada City Police Department, mm-hmm. the Placer County Office of Emergency Services
mm-hmm.
helps a lot. Placer County non-emergency phone number is 530-886-5375. So also Placer Independent Resource Center, they have a lot of information when mm-hmm. there's a crisis going on. Primarily these are for older adults, and their phone number is 530-885-6100. So if you get anything out of this, take care of around your house, rake the needles, have family come rake the needles.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a burn day,
mm-hmm.
burn them, make sure you're doing it safely.
Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of kids out with, one just knocked on my door and he said, "For an hour, I will pull weeds." And his price was negotiable. He said,
that's scary.
I know. I was like, yo, okay. I sent him in
my
backyard.
I've got some lemonade out in my refrigerator,
yeah.
you know.
So, yeah. I mean, I think I paid this kid $20 and he worked solid on the weeds for an hour. And those kids are everywhere and they can help in your yard.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying, rake, get the needles.
Get these things up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Oh, and I was also going to say 211 is for Sacramento as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So 211 for everyone. You just pick up your phone, like 911. This is 211. You say, I live in Auburn. I live in Lincoln. I live.
Yeah.
And there's a fire close by. Where would I take my animals? Yeah. Or and where's the nearest center for me to go sit?
They will know the local services that can help you for whatever your problem is. I don't have my meds, or I don't have any cash, or anything.
Yeah.
And they can tell you, you know, the fairgrounds is open or this or that.
Uh-huh.
So 211 is a great resource in a disaster
planning.
To call.
You know, if you live alone, talk to your kids. Next time they come over, sit down. Have that honest heart-to-heart talk where your important papers are. You might want to get them in a safety deposit box. Just so it's not stressful when the crisis happens.
Right.
We know being prepared makes everything go easier.
It really does. Mm-hmm.
So we really need to be prepared.
Yeah, phone some friends out of town and just ask them, in the event of a disaster of any kind in my town, can I come to your town?
Right.
And not close friends. You don't want someone in the next town over, because if it's a power outage, sometimes those involve 5,000-8,000 people.
Well, and one of the biggest things that a lot of people will tell you, the contact number for you is best if it's someone in another state.
Yeah.
So for me, if I call Ann, now we're holding up two local lines. So you will actually get busy signals because everybody in the area is trying to call out. And if they're trying to call out to other people in the area, we're doubling it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give your contact number for me, my sister in Washington, then my daughter can call Washington and say, have you heard from Mom?
Right.
You know, my friends can call my sister and say, have you heard from Teresa?
Right.
And all I have to do is one call. You're the person. You're the contact.
Yep.
And then it's not tying up all these local lines that need to be used.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, find your out-of-area contact. Make sure your friends, your kids, everybody has that number.
Yes, absolutely.
To do.
And what's the safe word that we were supposed to talk about? There has to be a word in case, because there's all these different scams of saying,
scams come along with this.
Mom, it's me, and I'm in the middle of a fire, and you need to send me $5,000.
Right. So every family should have a safe word.
Mm-hmm.
It might be grandma's maiden name, Cook.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
or something silly. Mine growing up, my family's growing up with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, perfect.
It's just
some
who would
silly
think of
name.
Saying Scooby-Doo?
So grandma can say, Susie, what's the family
yes.
password,
yep.
name, you
yes.
know,
yep.
safety name.
Yeah.
And she says, Scooby-Doo. Okay, it's probably your granddaughter. When she says, oh, I'm so stressed, I forgot it. Well, it's probably not your granddaughter.
Yeah. And that
call
is
me back when you remember the family name.
Yes. Yeah. Because that is, every time there's a crisis, there's always
scammers
that happen with it.
Always.
And
always.
I've heard from several police men that I know personally that says the best time to do crime is actually in a disaster because it's chaos.
Yeah.
So that's when it happens. That's when these crimes happen. So have your safe word, know your people, and know who to call if your granddaughter does call you and say, Grandma, I'm in a disaster and need $5,000.
Yeah.
Have a plan for that. Well, then we need to know your word. We need to call your mom.
So if you have a piece of paper and a pen, we're just going to go through a list right now and give you some phone numbers. Write them down. And then we also did save this, print this, and have it at work. So that if you call us, we can give it to you.
Yes, this is an emailable thing. So we will email this out. And it's just a bunch of phone numbers. Mainly we start with 211 because that is as good as 911 in the event of an emergency. Because a real life human will answer and give you advice for whatever your situation is in that time. And they will say, if you're in this area right now, go to this area, or, you know, if you need this, go here. Or how can I help? And 211 isn't just for emergencies. Also, that is an advice hotline. I believe they call it a service center connecting you with local services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And assistance is available in other languages. So it's a database for information for our area it literally the foothills. It covers this entire area, Grass Valley, El Dorado Hills, Sacramento, Lincoln, Sheridan. It's a large area that it covers for information. So always start with 211. The Placer County Office of Emergency Services, Teresa gave that number, but I'm going to give it again. It is 530-886-5300. That's 530-886-5300. And then the Placer County non-emergency number is 530-886-5375. 530-886-5375. And then we have the good old police department in Auburn is 530-823-4237. That's 530-823-4237. And then I just want to say the yubanet.com again, because that is an amazing website, yubanet.com, yubanet.com, yubanet.com. Fantastic website. And then let's see, we have the PlacerCounty.gov, and is for Placer Alert. So that's placer.ca.gov. Go to that website and sign up for the Placer Alert system. That's Placer, PLACER.ca.gov for Placer Alert. And really, Placer Alert is an amazing thing. I'm signed up. I get alerts for everything. Some of them I don't need to know, but I'm one of those citizens who likes to be informed. So if I'm not necessarily involved in the incident, I do like to know about the incident. And I also like to know about the areas where incidents are happening so that I know where to send my loved ones to or from or avoid. I have children that are driving, so I like to know and be informed on where to have them not be. Kind of like the olden days, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? I like to know that they're not at certain parts of town at 10 o'clock. So the Placer Alert will alert you to any incidents that's happening in certain parts of town, so you can know that as well. So that about wraps our show up for today. I'm going to give you Carefree Tree Care's number again. For any tree trimming needs, he takes down massive trees. His crew can clean your entire yard, and he'll come out and do a free estimate. So his phone number is 530-830-8057. Again, that's 530-830-8057. Carefree Tree Care is his name, and he does free estimates. So if you're just wondering if you even have a tree clearing need, he's the one to call. We actually have called him because he'll come out and just tell us if the tree